Hey everyone, welcome back into the BT Powerhouse podcast. As always, my name is Thomas Bendit. I'm the host of the podcast as well as the manager of BT Powerhouse, coming to you here on Monday, August 3rd, here to discuss all the action across the Big Ten on the week over the weekend, primarily the NBA draft decisions for a number of teams. And to help us break it down, we have Sean on from the Iowa 24/7 site. Sean, how you doing?
I'm doing well, Thomas. I'm doing well. Obviously, a crazy past couple of months with everything going on in our world, but seems hopefully to be getting a little more normal now. And I think with all the college basketball news that happened in the past week, that made people a little more exciting, gave some people some hope. So, been doing good.
Well, good. Well, happy to hear it. Like I said, happy to have you on. If you want to just take a second to remind our listeners who you are, who you write for, and where people can check you out. It'd be appreciated.
Yeah, so I work over at 24/7 Sports covering Iowa. I do some team stuff, but my main beat has been basketball and football recruiting. I've done that for like the past, it's been three years almost. I'm not exactly sure. It's one of those. So, so I've been doing that for a while, and you can find me on Twitter at SBOC247 for a lot of recruiting stuff. That's kind of my main deal. And with football picking up and now basketball obviously picking up too, I've been pretty busy the past couple of weeks. So it's been good.
Sure. So thanks again for that. Everybody, I recommend checking out Sean. A lot of great stuff there, particularly if you're interested in Iowa hoops or Iowa football. But let's jump right into it here. Big weekend for the Big Ten. I think there were five total NBA draft announcements for the conference. You have Cockburn and Dosunmu, who announced they're returning to Illinois. You have Aaron Henry announced he is returning to Michigan State. Xavier Tillman announced he's leaving Michigan State. And then, of course, the big one, Luka Garza for Iowa, who announced he's coming back. He's going to play his senior season in Iowa City after winning Big Ten Player of the Year honors last year. A lot of people thought he should have been National Player of the Year, had some NBA attention, but decided to come back. So, Sean, what are your first reactions to Luka's announcement and I guess just a crazy weekend for the Big Ten?
Yes. So, obviously, with everything that's happened in the past few months, Luka Garza's situation got pretty complex. I mean, I think a lot of people were speculating once the season ended that he'd be back for a senior season, like there'd really be no doubt. And then COVID hit and that kind of changed things a little bit. But I honestly always felt that probably going to come back. There was one point during the draft process where things got a little interesting. I think there were a couple teams that were really, really serious about him. And he was kind of thinking, man, like if there's no season next year, like I might be in big trouble because I'm a year older. I have no senior film or senior tape. Like no one's been able to watch me against top competition. So there was definitely some thought from his camp that, hey, maybe we might have to go to the NBA draft or maybe we might have to consider this more than we really did. I mean, obviously after the season he had, he was heavily considering the draft and Luka being the confident guy he is was pretty sure that he'd be able to get a spot on an NBA team somewhere. But at the end of the day, I think there were too many things going into Luka's decision that ultimately made him want to come back to Iowa. I think the potential success that they could have next year played a huge factor with him. There were a lot of things from that perspective, like that he just felt that, hey, like we have a chance to be really, really good next year. And he's one of those kids too that is really, really loyal to Iowa and just to his teammates in general. And they've been talking about that for some time now. And I think that played a big role in too. I think he's really betting on having that senior season. I think if that's the case, then he can improve his position even more. But then again, you have to look at it this way too. Imagine if there was an NCAA tournament. I think if Iowa made a run, Garza would have been a big key in that. And I think if you're looking at it that way, that maybe there's a chance that Garza does go to the NBA. But I guess with everything that happened on, everything that's happened, and just all the factors that he really felt the best needs is to come back to school for another year.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean, there's a lot there. It was certainly one of the trickier decisions. And you know, to be frank, I was a little critical, I guess, of the decision-making process. To me, I thought it was a, if I'm Garza, I think it's pretty straightforward that this is a year where the risk of returning is just so much greater than the missed reward. Because really, if you're a guy who thinks you can get drafted, and really thinks you can even get a shot to make an NBA roster, there's cash on the table there. It's available. So the only reason you should come back, other than personal reasons, which I think you've highlighted, you know, the idea I can be the big man on campus, I can lead Iowa to the promised land, so to speak. Other than those type of reasons, it's really the only logical reason to come back from a financial perspective is if you can improve your stock and make more money that way. Cause I mean, if you're a lottery pick, something like that, obviously it makes sense. Hey, you come back, you raise your profile, get drafted much higher. It works out financially, but otherwise to me, I think going pro earlier generally works out better than sort of the comeback, wait 2 years. So I was kind of critical of this cause I thought this was a year where, as you pointed out, we may not have a season, and I don't like to bring it up. I don't like to discuss it on the podcast because it's depressing, to be honest, and nobody really wants to hear about it. But, I mean, we may not have a season. If we do have a season, it may be really shortened. I mean, there may be an NCAA tournament that has fewer teams because they just can't safely do it for 68 or 64. They might have to reduce it and do 16. I don't know. I think everything's on the table at this point. So, to me, there's a lot of risk in coming back for the chance of, you know, maybe you sit in a dorm room for 8 months and don't play. So how do you think that factored in? Was this really just like personal reasons? Or, I mean, I guess, how do you view that and sort of the idea that, you know, he's putting a lot on the line here to come back for something that might not even be there?
Yeah. So, I mean, before we even had the notion that, hey, maybe there won't be a season, I think the mindset going into the NBA draft for Garza and his camp was 95% coming back, 5 leaving.
Wow.
But once like things started really to get interesting with all the COVID and the possibility of, hey, maybe there's not going to be a season. I mean, I know Fran McCaffrey said yesterday that he believes that that there's going to be a season, but obviously not a doctor, not a guy that obviously there's so many things that can change and the situation's so fluid, but I think really there at one point during the process, I'd say he was as close as 60% coming back, 40% leaving, because I think a couple of NBA teams were willing to take that risk that some of the people give him a knock or knock him for in terms of his athleticism and his ability to guard and play multiple positions. I think a lot of it has to do with everything that's happened, like all the COVID stuff. I think that had more to do with than personal decisions. You need to remember, too, that he had offers to play overseas as well, 6-figure deals to play overseas. So there was a lot of interest from a lot of professional leagues. And I think at the end of the day, Lucas wants to play in the NBA. Obviously, playing overseas would mean something to him with a lot of his family being from there. But I think the one thing he wants to do is the NBA, and I think he feels, hey, like maybe the best option for me is to take this risk and potentially not play my senior season at Iowa. But I think he has the mindset of, hey, I think I'm going to end up coming and we're going to have a season of some sort. So I think, like I said, I think at the end of the day, I think it's a lot more of all this stuff happening that really made him think about it. Obviously, I think he got more interest from NBA teams that people are really know. So I think there were a lot of interesting factors that made this decision harder than I think people expected it to be.
Sure. Okay. Well, I guess with that, you know, for better or worse, for Garza and everybody else, he's made a decision. He's coming back to Iowa. So from that perspective, with all the NBA draft stuff out the window, let's assume there's a season. Let's assume there's a full season, that we don't have a watered down one or a shortened one. What does Garza coming back mean for Iowa?
Oh, it's a lot. My thing is, I don't know if I see them as a top 5 team right now, especially defensively. But I think you look at this situation being like, okay, we saw how productive Garza was last year. Obviously, Iowa loses a couple key guys off the bench in Bakari Evelyn and Ryan Greener, but they bring their whole starting lineup back from last year, guys that started most of their games. They bring back Jordan Bohannon. They bring back Patrick Caffrey and Jack Nungy, all three guys who are coming off those redshirt years that were out when they were out for medical issues. So the roster, it's probably going to be Fran McCaffrey's deepest. And I think that's going to be interesting to see how he deals with that, because I know the knock on Fran McCaffrey a lot when he has these deeper teams is that he goes too deep into his bench. Or some people feel that maybe Fran's not giving his guys enough leeway because he feels like they're constantly substitution. Some of the substitution patterns are a little skeptical from time to time, but I think you have to look at it as this team's got a lot of talent, and with Garza coming back, I don't know if he'll have the season that he had. I don't think he should have the season that he had, considering all those guys that are coming back and just the scoring production that they're going to need from the other guys as well. But I think the most important thing about this is with no Kariner next year or this upcoming year, no Clemson, Iowa's pretty thin at the five spot. Behind Garza was Josh Ogundele. The incoming freshman who just got into the United States yesterday or the day before, because he lives overseas in London. His family lives overseas in London, and with the travel ban, he hasn't been able to get up to Iowa City for workouts. So they got him back late in the process, and I think that just having an inexperienced big like that, I mean, you could slide a Nungy and play a Lee's Camp at the four, or Connor or McCaffrey at the four. But I think just Garza coming back gives you that reliable presence inside, and just from a production standpoint too, just having him back in the middle is huge. Obviously, I think Josh is going to be a pretty solid contributor down the line for Iowa, but you look at Luka Garza, potential National Player of the Year this upcoming season. Dominance could be last year. That's just a lot. You just feel a lot better about that than you would if you have Josh, who I think is going to be a good player one day, but he's definitely not ready to take on that role that Luka did a year ago.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and I'm happy you answered that. You kind of answered my next question at the beginning, which is about Iowa's preseason hype. I'm with you. I think Garza's a huge return, not only because of the player he is. Obviously, he was Big Ten Player of the Year last year, so he's a pretty skilled contributor. And to get a guy like that back at any time is really significant, particularly for a team that was in the NCAA tournament last season. Had it been played, they would have made it. And really, I don't know if I would have said they were a national contender last year, but they were a team you could have seen getting hot, getting to the Sweet 16, maybe beyond that. Getting a guy back like that on a team that has some relevance is certainly big. But the question is how significant is it going to be? You say, you don't quite see them as a top five team. I'm kind of with you. I think top five might be a little aggressive. But I do still really like this team a lot. A lot of young guys around here who should be getting better with a leader like Garza, who can pull them together, get them through a lot of tough moments. That's the first reason. Second reason is Bohannon. The return of him, I think, is going to be really big. And then the last, I think the Big Ten in a lot of ways is going to be a lot more manageable next season. I think the very, very top of the conference is going to be very strong. But I don't think you're going to have like last year where you have 11, 12 teams that are all in legitimate NCAA tournament contention. I mean, I think people forget the Big Ten had 11 teams in the top 30 on KenPom last year. That's ridiculously deep. And what that meant was, you're going to play on Tuesday, Thursday, and maybe Saturday or maybe Sunday, whatever, three games in 10 days. And every single one of those games is going to be super difficult. I mean, last year you had Northwestern and Nebraska. Other than that, it was going to be a tough challenge. And Iowa, they got picked off by Nebraska once, so they didn't really have any easy gimme games last year. So I think that's a big reason, too, to feel a little more confident about a team that maybe has a shortcoming on one side of the floor. But spinning off of that, Bohannon is also coming back here. He played early in the season, but then sat out towards the latter portion. How significant do you think his return is going to be? And sort of, do you think both of these guys fed into each other? Or is this sort of an independent decision for both?
What do you mean independent? Or like, what do you mean by feeding into?
Well, I mean, I know that I believe there was some Twitter talk where they were joking around with each other, or at least Bohan, and maybe I'm misremembering here, about them coming back together. I mean, obviously I think they're both going to be a productive pair alongside each other. So I guess, if you can talk about that a little bit, as far as how you see those two fitting together and what kind of boost that could be for the Hawkeyes.
Oh yeah. So I think, well, I mean, when you have Garza, obviously a guy that can compete down low and can compete outside from time to time as well, that helps. But you look at Iowa's roster too, all you really need to do is put Garza inside, and then you got probably, I'd say, three guys in the starting lineup, maybe four, that are consistent, reliable three-point shooters. And Joe Wieskamp, CJ Frederick, and now Jordan Bohannon. Last year, I mean, Colin McCaffrey can shoot three as well, but I think you'd rather have those three guys, who are considered like two or three of the top shooters in the Big Ten. And you put a guy like Bohannon in there too now, and that just changes the whole thing. I mean, you got three guys, and then you got Connor, who's an improving shooter, and you have Luka down low dominating. So that helps a lot in that regard. And I think with Bohannon coming back too, I've been going back and forth on this, because I think Bohannon obviously adds a lot to this team. I know a lot of people have knocked him too for his defense, but I think last year we really saw what he could do when he was not necessarily scoring. Because, I mean, he played the first 10 or 12 games or however many it was with that hip, that he ended up getting surgery on at a couple weeks into the season or after he went out. So I think what we saw a lot of him last year, I mean, he's always been a guy that's been known for his grit, always just a tough player. But I think from a creating standpoint, we saw what he could really do. He was pretty effective in the pick and roll game. A guy that was able to find his teammates well, obviously didn't shoot the way that he could, but he showed you a lot of promise in those other areas of the game, where I felt like with this team coming back, I think he's going to be able to do that a lot more. And I think if he's able to do that a lot more, once teams kind of see that he can create the way that he can, I think that's going to draw more attention on those other guys, and that's going to leave him to have more shots along the three-point line. Or he's a good guy that's got long range too, so that would be a big boost, with just that mix of playmaking ability and ability to score. But, I mean, as far as his role this year, I think it could be a little different. I think it'll be more towards, like, the role that he had last year at the beginning of the year, which is being a playmaker, as opposed to the year before, where he was kind of a guy that, like, hey, like, we need a shot. Like, we're going to get you the ball. Now Iowa's got guys like Wieskamp and Frederick and Garza that have proven that they can take big shots and make big plays. So I think Jordan's role is going to be a little different, but I think he's going to be able to accept that. And I think that only benefit the team more, because I feel like just the way Fran McCaffrey's offense runs, you got guys free flowing in the fast break. And I think with that many scorers going in transition, that's going to be really tough for teams to defend.
Yeah. I mean, Iowa's offense is going to be just really explosive this year. I mean, it could be one of those. I don't necessarily want to say all-time great, because I don't want to get too ahead of ourselves here, but they were fifth last year in offensive efficiency per KenPom. And to bring back those guys, especially, I mean, you talked about Wieskamp. I don't think he's even close to his full potential yet. And he was a really solid player last year. You got McCaffrey as well coming back. Bohannon, a healthy Bohannon could be a huge, huge boost. I mean, I think people forget he was so productive from long range and facilitating offensively. So this could be a really, really good offense. Would not be surprised at all if Iowa finishes the year number one overall, whatever a year may look like this season. So it should be exciting. Before I do let you go, and again, I appreciate you coming on and chatting with us about Garza. Any thoughts on the other Big Ten NBA decisions this weekend, or the conference in general? Anything on that front?
As far as decisions go?
Sure. Yeah, for Illinois, for Michigan State, et cetera.
Well, I mean, I'm excited to see Illinois. I don't know if there'll be like a national title. I'm still kind of pessimistic on Iowa and Illinois as far as the national title goes, but I think it's good for the Big Ten overall just to see all this talent coming back. And being an Illinois kid too, growing up in the Chicago suburbs, obviously being around Illinois basketball, I mean, that's pretty cool to see that that much excitement around the program. And I'm excited to see a lot of those Illinois-Iowa games that seem to have really been one of the bigger rivalries in the Big Ten over the past year. So obviously last year too, with all the higher aggressive battles that they had. And no, but I mean, it's going to be really, really fun this year. I really hope we have a season. I think there's going to be a lot there that is going to make people excited. And I think this could be the year potentially that, like, hey, like maybe the Big Ten ends that national title drought. I hope that's the case, but it'll be interesting to see what happens.
I think the rule is nobody's allowed to say that on here, because I kept saying that last season when the Big Ten was really rolling, and then we had no NCAA tournaments. So everybody's banned from saying that now. But no, I agree with you. I mean, last year, the reason I thought that there was a real chance is, you know, there was no top-end dominant team. I know some people have said Kansas was this unbeatable force. I didn't buy that. I mean, Kansas was really good. They probably deserve to be the number one overall seed coming into the NCAA tournament, obviously, considering we didn't have any conference tournaments played last year. But I thought they were really good, but they were not a team that I thought, wow, nobody's going to be able to beat them. And there were just so many Big Ten teams that were so solid where I was like, this is just sheer numbers. You know, you're expecting some of these teams to advance. But yeah, I mean, this year, I think the top end is going to be even stronger than it was last year. I mean, you could see three, maybe four teams in the top 10 when all said and done. So should be exciting, particularly Iowa, Illinois. Should be a lot of fun. But Sean, thanks for joining us. We really appreciate it.
Yeah, awesome, Thomas. Thanks again for having me.
Excellent. Thanks. With the other decisions, I did want to hit on a few other things across the Big Ten. We obviously touched on Iowa with Sean there, but I did want to just hit on Illinois and hit on Michigan State as well briefly before we end tonight's podcast. For Illinois, obviously they get two huge, huge returners. I think Illinois would have been pretty solid even if they had not had the two guys come back. They would have been a decent, solid team, probably in bubble contention. I mean, we'll see. It's always a battle. But now, I mean, you're talking about potential top 10 team. Some people have them maybe even higher than that, maybe talking about top five. So it should be really exciting. And the thing is the roster is really balanced this year, which is – it's been a while for Illinois. Brad Underwood's done a really good job with that roster. You know, and this year they're bringing in a nice recruiting class. They got 2 4 stars. They got Miller, and then they got Andre Curbelo. They're also bringing in a couple transfers as well. Both of them are sitting a year. I'm not sure if either has applied for any waiver, but both currently set to sit out a year. But I mean, you have Ayo in the backcourt, Williams, Frazier. That's a really, really good group of guys just to start off the discussion with. And then, I mean, you're going to add in the fact that you're going to have Cookburn up front. You're going to have Georgie. That's a really good combo, really diverse. They're going to have to figure out how to play him again together, but even if you use them as sort of a relief system, that'll be a really, really nice boost for everyone there. And then on top of it, I mean, you just have the growing experience. You know, you're bringing back guys who know how to play at a top-end level now. Cookburn, freshman last year, you would expect him to take a sizable step forward. So a lot to like there for Illinois. Should be a contender for the Big Ten title this season. Same with Michigan State. They get back Aaron Henry. They're going to have a pretty deep, balanced lineup. Joey Hauser, the transfer, should be managing things up front for Michigan State, as well as you're going to have Bingham back, Kithier. Those are both nice, solid pieces. I don't love either of those players right now, but both have some potential to grow. Hall, who had a couple really nice games last year for Michigan State, you would think that he can build on his game there. But Henry, Rocket Watts back in the backcourt, that's going to be a nice group to start out with. Michigan State's another team that you figure would factor into the Big Ten race. Don't quite have the talent they did last year, losing Winston and Tillman to the NBA, but there is still a lot to work with. So big weekend for the Big Ten. As I mentioned a couple times in the podcast, I'm not necessarily on board the position that the Big Ten is going to be better next year than it was this year because it was just so deep last year. But I do think the top is going to be better. You got a handful of teams that should be really, really good. Wisconsin should be really good again. Michigan State should be good. Illinois should be good. Iowa should be good. And then you have another couple teams that could trend up significantly as well. Purdue could be good. Michigan has some question marks, but they're a team, if a couple guys hit, they could be pretty good. And then Ohio State as well. We'll see what comes out of Columbus. That team's had few transitional developments this season, but there's a lot to like there. It's just the rest of the league. I'm not sure what's going to happen. So should be fun. Overall, those are the big things I wanted to hit on here today. I will note, I am expecting finally an update for our offseason power rankings. I really haven't been updating it because we've been waiting so long on these NBA decisions. It's been hard to. So much has been in flux for the rosters and everything else. So I will likely post an updated version of that in the next week or so. So stay tuned for that. Otherwise, thank you all for following. We appreciate it. In these uncertain times, wishing everybody the best. Hopefully things progress in a solid manner here over the coming weeks, couple of months, and we don't have to worry about college basketball. But otherwise, thank you all. We appreciate it. Again, my name's Thomas Bendit. You can follow me on Twitter @tbendit. We'll see you all next time.